跟着崔哥在周游北京各地。
对对对
对，能给我们大概介绍一下崔哥这次来到现在为止的行程啊，他都去了哪里，然后见了哪些人，给我们大概汇报一下。
有一个跟我一样是崔哥的粉丝，然后领着这个崔哥和我还有 CT 一起，然后去了这个去了这个天坛，然后
天坛去了是吧？
对，逛了北京的胡同，
哦，
然后去了这个红砖美术馆的一个展览，一个艺术展。
哦，
实际上刚才说的这几个里面，他最喜欢的是最后一个，好像是。
啊，喜欢看艺术展是吧？
对对对对对。
对，那你觉得他对他这次来怎么心情怎么样？感觉对，就是你们咱们这次行程的安排啊，他第一次来中国吧？对，
对他第一次来中国，我不知道，我们对这个咱们服务的人就是没法代表他来评价咱们的服务质量。
那你感觉呢？啊，
对，感觉还是挺开心。因为崔哥是一个超级超级实在的人，
是，
就是我最近就是朋友问我说，你看到了崔哥本人之后有没有什么发现？
嗯，
然后我说非常惊讶的是没有任何发现，就是因为。我从来没有见过一个人，他在比如说他在公开场合所表现出来的
和私下是
完全一样的，我从来没有见这样的人，连你我都不是，就是
我不是吗？
有，您已经很实在了。
OK， 那你今天先给大家介绍一下，就是崔哥接下来这个演讲有没有大家需要提前知道一下，大概是一个什么内容？
今天的演讲其实内容，就是没很具体，然后他甚至没有去聊自己做的这两款游戏。
哦，
对，但是他在讲了一些从独立游戏出发，然后以及中国独立游戏开发者面临的一些机会，以及我们作为玩家，就是，我们所处的这个时代对我们的一些意义吧，就是他个人的对这件事情的理解啊，跟我想的还挺不一样的。
OK， 那时间有限，我们就赶紧请崔哥上来，咱们开始这个环节好。
好，
让我就把舞台
掌声有请。时空幻境和见证者的作者乔纳森·布洛。
啊，
耶，哎，啊，
拿这个就可以吧 ？OK，
Should I?
Are you comfortable with the microphone?
Sure.
Okay.
I probably have said it many times, but again, welcome to China, and it's a great honor for us to have you here.Yeah, we've been telling stories about you and your work to people, and I don't know. It feels like you're a Santa Claus coming here without a present. But you know, a speech would do just fine.
Okay, so, I'll see what I can do about
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 乔纳森·布洛，咱们再给一次掌声吧。
Thank you.
Okay. So yeah, I'll be translating for you. So I'll just stand here.
Sure.
Okay. Let's begin.
All right, well, thanks everybody for coming out. It's great to see so many people here.
And, 非常感谢大家，很惊讶能看到这么多人在这儿啊。
And I'd like to thank G-Cores for inviting me as well.
Sure.
My name is Jonathan Blow. I'm a game designer from the USA, and the most recent game that I designed was this game, The Witness, which came out in 2016.
大家好，我是乔纳森·布洛，是《时空幻境》的作者。然后最近呢，两年前我做了这款游戏，叫做《见证》。
This game is of course still on sale in 2018 in places like Steam, and we're noticing some very interesting things. For example, we have a lot of players from China who are interested in our game. So this graph here is a graph of the percentage of our players that come from each country.And USA is first, 28%, but China is second with 15%. That's like more than half the number of people from USA, which is very large and very interesting. Now what's... Oh.
Yeah, sure. OK. 游戏在2016年发布之后呢，到了今年前五个月的销售的数据的玩家国籍的结构发生了很大的变化。我们看到这个在2018年到今天为止，美国的发生在美国的这个购买已经超在28%，但是中国已经到了15%，成为了 The Witness 在2018年这个第二流行的这个国家。
Also very interesting is the trend though, because this game came out in 2016, and we can compare numbers. And you see here that back then China was a much smaller percentage. It was just 4%. It was the number 7 country.
对，那如果对比同样的数据的口径，在2016年呢，中国只占的 Witness 销量的4%，所以这个变化是非常剧烈的。
So in just 2 years, we've gone from this to this, and that's quite extreme.
所以这两者之间的变化非常的大，这里面一定有一些值得我们注意的东西。
So The Witness is not the only game seeing this pattern. Many games in the West, both small independent games like mine and bigger AAA games, are seeing this same kind of pattern.
那据我所知，很多这个西方的游戏，就是在欧美所制作出来的游戏，尤其是独立游戏，受益于中国的这个玩家群体的增长。
But something strange is that it's a little bit different in China here. Game companies in China are certainly also benefiting from this growth, but it's mostly the big companies that are succeeding, right? The army-sized companies. Smaller independent companies have not been too successful yet.
对，但是很奇怪的是，同样的增长似乎在中国，受益更多的是那些大的游戏巨头，而不是这些小的独立游戏的公司。
You might say that this is just the way China is and it's not going to change, but I think it's likely to change because it reminds me of a situation that we had in the West about 10 years ago.
Yeah, 相似的这种变化呢，其实在美国十年前其实也发生过，所以根据我的经验和我的判断，可能在中国也会有相似的变化在，可能在要开始发生。
Back then, we made independent games. In fact, there were people making independent games as you would consider them today, even in the mid to late 1990s.
从这个90年代中后期一直到2000年初，其实一直都有美国人在做独立游戏，但是可能不是很成气候。
But not very many people were paying attention to them. For sure, mainstream gamers were not playing them. They were just made for small audiences. And then around 2008, the market conditions changed.
对，所以那个时候呢，独立游戏玩人非常少，所以它都是面向非常窄的一个受众群体。但是到了2008年的时候，事情发生了一个很大的变化。
And indie games suddenly became popular, and there was a huge explosion.
在2008年的时候，有一个巨大的一个流行的潮流发生在美国的独立游戏上。
So starting in 2008, and then through 2009, 2010.And 2011, there was this feedback loop of more and more games that were getting better and better and getting larger and larger audiences at the same time.
在08年到11年的这段时间，由独立游戏的数量和质量同时在不断的增长，然后有越来越多的人开始接触到这样的小型的游戏。
Now, to make this feedback loop, there were two sides happening.
在这个过程中，两个方面的事情同时在发生。
On the gamer side, in 2008 was sort of the first time that many... Should I stop during this? Or?
I'm sorry. Yeah, just we go on, just ignore them.
Just ignore them. Okay. So starting in 2008 was the first time when a large number of gamers saw these examples of smaller games that were still credible gameplay experiences that they would really want to play.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you just said, but I'm sorry, it's just way too noisy here. I'm sorry.
Let's wait. It's probably
not
okay. Yeah, okay.
It's
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Good. Yeah,
okay.
Good.
So...you know, starting in 2008, gamers started to see these smaller games that were good enough that they could be interested in them legitimately, right? And not just playing them for weird reasons, but like they're real games that they would enjoy.
Yeah, 从2008年起呢，就是玩家眼中的独立游戏变得实际，变得有玩的价值了，而不是只是因为一些诡异的、奇怪的原因去玩，就这些游戏变得实际的，变得好玩，并且变成一个切实可行的游戏的选择。
And then, of course, in the subsequent years, as they saw more games, there was more and more evidence of this, and more people became interested, and those crowds just built.
然后越来 越多的证据表明，不光是玩家，也有更多的开发者，就是越来越多的涌入到这个独立游戏开发的阵营和消费的这个群体中。
On the developer side too, this wave of successful games in 2008 showed other developers that if they spent more time and money making games better, that they could succeed and make that money back.
然后重要的是呢，在开发者的这一边，大家开始注意到做好的独立游戏可以完全把它的投资成本收回来，甚至有一个很不错的收入。
And also, as these games got better and better, developers felt challenged to do better than the other developers.
在过程中竞争就开始发生，因为越来越多的人做独立游戏，所以独立游戏一定要做得很好，才能够有一个比较好的收获。
Now, I said a while ago that the market conditions changed in 2008, so I'll just specify what those conditions were.
对，那么这种良性循环，它背后有一个环境和背景，这环境和背景是什么呢？
First of all, we had a big audience as console and PC games had been getting more and more popular for years.
对，首先呢，我们有庞大的 PC 游戏的玩家的基础，然后他们一直在 PC 上面玩游戏，这个是一个很好的一个基础。
Secondly, all those people had access to fast internet, and so they were able to download games. Whereas in previous years, if you wanted to download a game, you had to go to a store.And for a developer, getting a game into a store is very hard and very expensive.
然后另外一个重大的变化呢，就是互联网分发渠道的成本降低，我们的互联网接入的速度越来越快。那独立游戏在过去的时间里，让一个小的独立游戏以光盘的形式进入游戏的传统的线下的售卖的商店是非常非常难的，但是在互联网这件事情变得非常容易。
Also, at the same time, the supply of AAA games had been decreasing, because as AAA games got more expensive to make,the big publishers consolidated their funds into making fewer games with higher budgets.
然后与此同时呢，奇怪的事情是，三 A 游戏的供给逐渐变少，因为这些大的发行商，他们开始意识到做游戏的成本越来越高，然后他们要把钱都花在刀刃上，然后他们会把资源集中在更少数的游戏上。
But this meant that gamers were not getting as many different games as they actually wanted to play.And they weren't getting much variety as they wanted because publishers were killing off older genres that were less successful.
那么在此消彼长的过程中，玩家开始发现自己的选择变少了，然后那些不那么受欢迎的游戏类型就开始出现灭绝的情况。
So this left a hole in the market that we, the new smaller companies, could occupy, but we couldn't get there automatically. In order to get there, we had to do this fourth item.Which is increase the quality and the sophistication of the games that we were making, so that gamers would recognize them as things that they wanted to play.
Yeah. 所以有了一个很好的市场的空间和契机，但是我们不能就天然自动的去获得这个市场。我们需要在质量和数两方面都做到越来越好，然后能够从玩家的视野中赢得他们的注意力。
So in China, I would bet the conditions are about right for a similar situation to occur.
那我敢打赌，同样的事情在中国，我们也正在迎来它的到来。
In China, there's a bigger audience than we had in the West, and certainly many of those people have good internet.
那中国显然有一个庞大的互联网的受众群体，然后他们也有一个非常低成本的互联网分发的这样一个平台。
And also, the AAA game situation is the same. So the main thing that's different is that the quality and the sophistication of independent games hasn't yet jumped forward to occupy that niche.
对，三 A 游戏的情况也是一样。But I don't think we actually make AAA games though.
Well, I'm talking about competing with Western.
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah.
所以在整个的市场上来看，三 A 游戏的供给减少也发生在我们的市场里。
Yeah.So, some people be thinking, why does any of this matter? I don't care that much about independent games. I just care about big AAA games where I search an open world for 200 hours.
那么问题就来了，我为什么要关注这个东西呢？我为什么不去玩那些大型的什么开放世界，可以让我沉浸在其中200个小时的质量的游戏？我为什么要在乎什么独立游戏呢？
And the answer is because.Even if you just care about big games, the truth is that big games are not super good at being creative and giving you new ideas and experiences.
那问题就在这里，就是即使你是一个只在乎三 A 游戏大作的人，那么你也要意识到三 A 游戏有它自己的局限，在创意上，在很多的方面，它都有它比较难以达到的原因。
Because when a game costs $100 million to make,Usually, that money comes from a large institution, and that institution's number one job is to make sure they don't lose that $100 million.
一个上亿美元投资的游戏的这个资金，通常是来自于一个大的投资机构。 而他们的工作最重要的一条就是确保这个钱能够收回来，所以大预算的游戏通常变得非常保守。
And so they have to be very conservative in their decision making and do things that they think are probably going to be successful.
对，所以他们在关键的决策上都变得非常的保守，从而确保他的游戏不会犯错误，而他们资金可以收回来。
And success or probably successful for a game means doing something that somebody else has already proved will work by making a game that made a lot of money, and then we do that but change it a little bit, like with better graphics or something.
那么确保资金能够全的回来，最保险的方式通常就是意味着你不要做任何的创新，就去做别人已经验证了的玩家确实觉得好玩的东西，然后就可以把这个钱收回来。
On the other hand, if a game is a small enough budget that the money can come from one person or a few people, those people could easily be motivated by something other than just making money.
但是对于一个只有一个人或者几个人的小工作室，他们比较容易去做创新或者是新的挑战，是因为他们没有那么大的经济上的压力，或者说他们更容易具备一种除了赚钱之外的其他的动机，把游戏做成他们想要的样子。
For example, they could just be excited about a new game idea or a new piece of style, and that gives these games more room to experiment, try new things.
比如说除了钱之外，他们可能就是觉得这样的玩法或者这种画面的风格更是他们想要的，这是成为了他们做游戏主要的原因。
And so together this makes a system. It's like a conveyor belt where the new ideas start out in smaller games, they succeed or fail, and then when they succeed, they get picked up and exploited by the bigger games.
所以独立游戏就变成了这样一个试验场，有的实验成功了，有的实验失败了，而成功的那一些就可能会被大公司看上，然后去加大投资，并且做成一个更大更好的游戏。
So if you really want bigger games to be good, you care about smaller games being good.
因此，如果你只是在乎3A游戏大作的话，你也应该关注独立游戏。
So for examples of how that works, I can show a couple of games here.
我们可以举几个例子来看一下。
This game, Dota, was originally a mod for Warcraft 3, and it became very popular, and it spawned this entire field of similar games, some of which were tremendously successful.
众所周知 ，Dota 其实是从《魔兽争霸三》演变出来的一个小 mod， 但是由于它本身非常非常好的一个可玩性，然后它最后就变成一个自成一派的一个很大的、很流行的游戏类型。
And the original ideas behind this game, PUBG, were originally tried in an Arma 3 mod, and after several iterations, now 2018 will be the year of more PUBG clones than you know what to do with.
那么《绝地求生》这个游戏最早也是 Arma 的一个 mod， 但是因为它通过自己的很努力的几次的迭代，然后在玩法上不断的改进，最终变成了一个非常非常流行的游戏类型。
And these two examples are mods, but it works the same way for full games.
这些例子都最开始只是一个小小的 mod， 但是他们后来都变成很流行的游戏类型。
Now, when it comes to AAA games, and here I mean games for gamers and ignoring mobile games for now.
Okay, 但我们这里所谈论的游戏是忽略了手游之外的那些正经游戏。
It's true.
Yeah, there's no way around about that.
That wasn't a joke. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
So most of the successful games are made in a small number of places right now: the USA, Canada, Europe, and Japan.
我们所说的这些游戏的声音，主要的现在来自于美国、加拿大、欧洲和日本。
So there's something that I'm going to call the voice of games, which is something like.The general attitude and aesthetic and ideas that come through from that collection of games as a whole.
所以我们这里面说的这种声音是那种真正的审美意义上的好的东西。所以这些声音都是非常非常的重要，它们的来源也非常的重要。
That voice is created by the ideas.Of the people living in these countries that make the successful games, so the voice is a reflection of the culture of those countries specifically.
那么这些游戏其实最终它都是这些游戏的制作者 他们来自于他们所在的国家所在的文化，所以这些游戏最终反映了他们的来处，他们的文化。
And so usually for Chinese ideas or Chinese aesthetics to get into one of these games, it has to be an echo, like it's really how someone in Europe thinks a Chinese aesthetic is.
所以对于中国人也是一样，中国去做一个好的游戏所体现出来的专属于中国的文化 和审美，也会在全世界的其他 的玩家心中产生一个回响。
It's not really the real thing, and you probably recognize it as distorted.
Sorry, what?
It's probably, it's not the real direct expression, and you probably recognize it as distorted.
但是这种表达并不是一种非常直接直白的表达。
And so, if you have ideas of what are interesting that are missing from this voice, the main way for them to get there is through this conveyor belt, starting in the small games, and then succeeding or failing, and then being picked up when they succeed by the big games.
那么想让自己的文化，想让自己的审美通过这种渠道来达到其他的玩家，就是通过去做一个小的游戏，很多小游戏的尝试，然后有的成功，有的失败，而成功的游戏逐渐的变大，最终能够影响到更多人。
And all of that is important.Because video games are the future of human thought, and if you're going to design the future of human thought, it's a good idea to be careful.
而我刚才说的这些都很重要的原因是，游戏是人类思想的未来。
We should probably, when we're designing that thing, make sure to include all the.Best ideas from all cultures about how it should work.
如果游戏真的是这样的话，那么我们最好让游戏能够包含来自于五湖四海的每一个民族、每一个国家、每一个文明他们的文化和审美，不是吗？
Now, some people might think that saying that games are the future of human thought is a statement, so I'll explain why that is.
对，可能有人觉得我说这个话太言过其词，那所以我要解释两句。
Back in the old days, when we wanted to learn something complicated like how to build a fire, we could do that by watching somebody who was good at performing that action, and by watching many times, we could learn it.
那最开始呢，原始的人类为了学习钻木取火这种复杂的工作，他们唯一的方法就是看着一个会取火的人一遍一遍地钻这个木头取到火，然后从而通过这个现场的观察来获得这种技能。
This ability to mimic and use tools is something that not many animals had, and it made human beings very powerful in nature.
这种技能和工具慢慢的就使人从其他的动物中脱颖而出。
But there's a limitation to this kind of learning, which is that in order to watch someone build a fire, they have to have the wood and the kindling, and it has to be dry.
但是这种学习方法有很大的局限，比如说你必须要在现场，而且现场的天气必须很好，不能下雨，然后这个木头又是干燥的，等等等等的这样的限制。
Because he can't tell you about how to build a fire because we haven't invented language.
对，我没法直接告诉你怎么去用木来取火，因为我们还没有发明语言呢。
But then eventually we do invent language, and that is a great technological advancement.
那后来我们就发明了语言，而语言是一个极其强力的工具和技术。
By telling stories, we can talk about things that are far away, or that will happen in the future, or that already happened in the past, or things that are completely imaginary.
通过语言，我们可以讲故事，而故事告诉我们很远地方的事情、过去的事情、未来的事情，以及我们想象的事情。
And then later on, we make another advancement in technology, which is writing.
然后后来我们又在技术上取得了下一个进步，就是发明文字。
With writing, the guy trying to give you the information doesn't have to be there. In fact, he could be dead, and the information that's being provided will stay the same for a long time. It doesn't get distorted by constant retelling.
那么有了文字之后，一个人告诉另外一个人的信息就不用非得当面或者是当场了，他就可以写下来。而这个信息不会因为时间的延宕 而变得失真或者是被篡改。
So at first we used these marks to start talking about things where we had to be very specific, like laws.
文字出现使我们有了非常多的进步，比如说像法律这样的东西是非常有用的。
And then eventually we developed a much more complicated series of marks that lets us talk about more complex and more subtle things about the world.
更重要的是有了语言之后，我们可以对于世界的研究也变得可以更进一步，我们可以用语言和文字去进行更加细致、更加微妙的讨论和记对世界的观察。
But we also developed a rich tradition of literature at the same time, because not everything is just work, times there's enjoyment too.
那当然与此同时我们也发了虚构性的写作，比如文学，那么像文学这样的东西也会给我们带来巨大的愉悦。
And then eventually we developed many other technologies, one of which is film. And in film, you have traditional storytelling techniques all available, but also new things.
后来我们又发明了一个新的技术，就是电影。那么影像使我们能够在拥有完整的语言文字的叙述的基础上，又有了更新的表达的方式。
For example, you have the position of the camera and the way light falls on the scene. And those things help you to communicate things that can be very subtle and non-linguistic.
And what?
Non-linguistic, not involving language.
Yeah, sure, okay. So,像在影像中，我们可以使用灯光、使用剪辑、使用更多语言和文字并不具备的方式，来强化我们的表达。而这种表达和对于信息的接收是非语言性的。
So this technology gives us access to a kind of communication that we didn't have before.
这种技术进步使我们人与人沟通产生了全新的、前所未有的渠道。
And now one of the newest technologies is video games.
然后现在最新的技术进步就是游戏。
And we all know that the difference between video games and those older things is that games are interactive. And for the kinds of games we're talking about today, you're interacting with a computer that can do many calculations per second.
那我们众所周知，游戏这个媒介最重要的特点是它是互动的。那我们说到互动的意思就是，你玩游戏的时候，你在和一个计算机所运行的计算系统在打交道。
And with those calculations, that computer is creating a system of some kind. So for example, if you're trying to win at a city building game, you might think, I want to build a sports stadium in a certain place in the city.
Sorry. No. 就比如说当我们玩一个城市模拟类的游戏的时候，比如说你可以想说我要在这里建一个体育场。
But before you do that, you have to think about a lot of things. How will this affect traffic in the neighborhood near the stadium?
但是你必须得在做这个决策之前想清楚，你放一个体育场之后会对当地的交通、当地的物流和各种各样的城市的运转发生影响。
And how will that affect traffic going to the downtown retail district, which I need to stay profitable to give people jobs, also so that I can tax, so that I can grow my city.
比如说这个体育场明显它不能影响交通，导致人们很难到市中心的商场消费，而因为这样的结果会导致更少的就业机会，从而使城市不再繁荣。
And that's just one line of thought that you can trace through this complex web of dependencies that comprise this whole system of this game.
当然我刚才举的只是在一个系统中一个非常非常简单的例子，让我们看到其实一个复杂系统中每一个因子和每一个因子之间都有千万缕的联系。
Now the same thing is true even in games where you might not think it's so obvious. The same thing is true even in games where you might not think it is so obvious.
对，那么同样的论断也会适用于像这样的你可能觉得不适用的游戏。
So to be successful in a game like PUBG, you have to have a very complicated system in your head. For example,Where are players likely to be hiding, and how does that change at the beginning when there's 90 people versus at the end when there's 10 people?
那想玩好这样一个看起来很简单的游戏，你也要有一个系统性的思维，比如你怎样去注意你身后可能存在的敌人，比如刚才有90个人的时候，这个世界和现在只有20个人的时候，这个世界是不一样的。
And how much is that going to change when there's pressure from a circle coming in versus when everybody's safe? Or when there's an airdrop coming in versus when there's nothing going on?
另外你同时还要面对环境随时发生的变化，比如缩圈的时候，这种对于每一个玩家带来的压力，以及空投轰炸的时候对你的决策的影响。
And so again, by the time you've become good at this game, you've become some kind of an expert at a complex web of interrelated facts.
所以当你把这样的游戏玩好之后，你变得与这样一个非常复杂的交互系统，你变得跟这个系统更加熟悉。
In other words, even if you didn't think you were learning anything real, you were becoming good at systems thinking and getting more experience at how complex systems are, how they behave.
即使你没有明显的感觉到你自己学了任何东西，但是你事实上在思考系统，在理解一个系统这件事情上，在不断的前进着。
Human beings lately really want to learn about systems, but it's hard.
人一直渴望着掌握和学习系统，但这个事儿非常非常难。
For example, if you wanted to learn economics, which is the study of a big economic system, the best option you have so far is to read a book that will tell you a lot of facts about the system.
比如说你学经济学或者这个宏观经济学的时候，那你能得到的最好的工具就是看经济学的教材，而这个教材就是线性的叙述。
But you don't get to interact with an actual system. You have to use your imagination to make an imaginary system go, and your imagination could be wrong. It could misinterpret or extrapolate incorrectly what the book says.
但是读书的时候，你没有办法获得一种能力去在你想象中的一个经济的系统中实践你的想法，或者你可能有错误的想。
And also, it just takes a really long time to learn in that way.
而且退一万步讲，看书学这个东西真的非常非常费时间。
Whereas if you're playing a game for hours a day because you love it, you're interacting directly every minute with a complex system, and you're getting a very intimate feel for how it works.
但是在玩一个城市模拟类的游戏的时候，你在跟这样一个复杂系统有着直接的互动，然后它给你的反馈是非常具体的，可以感受到的。
And this is very important because most of the problems that we face today as human beings are large, complicated, really difficult to confront problems that require high level of systems thinking to approach.
而这一切变得非常重要，因为我们人类发展到今天，我们所面临的问题大多数都是非常大的，非常困难的，非常系统性的问题。
And so, when I'm saying that games are the future of human thought, this is what I mean. It's one of the next steps in this development of our ability to think about bigger things and deeper things and more complex things.
所以我刚才说游戏是人类思想的未来，具体指的是像这样的一个阶梯，一步一步的向上发展。
Okay, so what does all this mean for people's day-to-day life?
那我刚才说了这些对于玩家和开发者的日常生活又有什么意义呢？
For example, if you're a game developer and you say, okay, how do I make a successful independent game? What do I do?
比如说你是一个独立游戏开发者，你会说，就比如我接受这一切，但是我应该实际具体该怎么做呢？
Well, step number one is work hard, and I don't think that's a surprise to anybody, but games hard to make.
那么第一步很显然就是努力工作。这说起来很容易，但是大家要知道，做游戏真的非常非常的难。
The programming is difficult, making 3D graphics is difficult, but actually I think most difficult of all is design.
编程非常非常难，做 3D 的图形也非常难，但是最难最难的是做设计，游戏设计。
Because the thing about design is you can't really see it, so it's hard to judge when it's right. AndFrom experience, we know that it's very hard to make a good design, and it's actually very easy to make a bad design.
因为对于游戏设计，我们没有一个很好的方式去衡量它，而事实上，我们都知道做一个坏设计是多么的容易，而做一个好设计是多么的难。
So even though most parts of a game are very hard, I encourage you to put attention there on design.
对，所以就是即使做游戏的每一个步骤都非常非常难，这仍然要求你要把更多的精力放在游戏设计上。
Step two is you have to actually give gamers a reason to want your game.
然后第二点呢，就是你一定要给玩家一个独特的原因去玩你的游戏，去想玩你的游戏。
To you, it's special because you made it, but gamers see thousands and thousands of games, and yours is just one of those games.
为你所面临的消费者，他已经玩过成千上万款游戏了，而你只不过是那上万款游戏中的一个而已。
The big budget game solved this problem by spending a lot of money to make something impressive, in scale or in visual glitz.
那些巨型的大游戏的应对这个事情的方法，就是他们用无限多的钱砸在具体的一些事情上，能够让你印象深刻，但是这个你做不到。
But small companies can't compete that way because we don't have anywhere near as much money as they do. So we have to compete in a different dimension.
因为你没有这样的资源和钱，所以你没法跟人家用这样的方式展开竞争。你必须要找到一些小的和独特的东西。
And the one that always works for me is to make something special. You have to give people something that they're never going to get from a game that costs $100 million.
这东西对于独立游戏来说就是一个小的独特的点，而这个点你在那种上亿美元制作的游戏中永远都得不到的。
Well, that's not the only way to do it, but it's what I try to do. But you have to do something.
那这可能不是唯一的方法，但是这个是我多年以来一直在实践的方式。但是不管是这种还是哪种，你一定要在做这样的努力。
And the third is to help each other out.
第三点呢，就是要互相帮助。
Back in the 1990s and early 2000s in the USA, when games were becoming very hard to make because they had gone 3D and we didn't know how to do 3D yet.
在八十年代末九十年代初的时候，做 3D 游戏是非常非常难。当时大家都没有一个很好的概念，怎么去低成本的去做这样的游戏。
We were lucky to have adopted a really great attitude about communicating with each other.
但是所幸的是，我们这个开发者的群体有一个很好的心态来分享知识，来互相交流。
Somebody would go to a conference and say, I worked very hard to figure out this exact sequence of machine language instructions that'll put graphics on the screen the most efficiently.
有的时候我们在这各种各样的游戏开发者 的论坛的场合，就是 会给对方讲我刚刚怎么 用 很多的努力想明白了一个具体的就是去操纵机器用语言 来实现 一个事情的方式。
And even though we were competitors, we would share that information with each other because we just liked each other and we wanted to help.
即使我们是竞争对手，我们还是会这样做，因为我们觉得对方是同行，我们喜欢彼此。
And then we would go home from the conference and spend a few weeks figuring out this new piece of technology. And then over the next months, we would pass it and get better. And by the next year, we would show up at the conference much stronger and ready to do bigger things.
那我们在论坛这样的场合听到了一个人分享了我自己不会的东西，然后我回到家仔细的消化这个，几个礼拜以后我掌握了这个东西，等到下一次论坛我们再见面的时候，每一个人都变得比次更强。
So later on, when the market for independent games is developed, you can keep rough and like try to punch each other out, but for now, cooperation and lifting everybody up is probably the best strategy.
独立游戏市场又大又红，然后有很多钱可以赚的时候，你们可以在那个时候尽情的互相去竞争，但是这个时候我们更重要的事情是一起把这个市场做大。
Okay, so that's for developers, but what about for gamers, you know? What if you just play games?
刚才说了一堆跟开发者有关的，但是跟我们玩家有关的呢？这些事情对我们来说有什么意义呢？
I would say, first of all, understand that games are important. Even if you're having fun while playing them, that doesn't mean that they're meaningless.
Knowing them meaningless? It doesn't mean that they're not important. Okay. Yeah.
对于玩家来说，最重要的第一件事情就是在你玩游戏的时候，你同时要理解游戏是非常非常重要的。虽然它好像只是给你带来感官的愉悦，但这并不意味着它没什么深刻的意义。
And you know, if people try to tell you that games are a waste of time, don't listen to them because it's not true unless it's a mobile game.
Okay, so 对，当别人告诉你 游戏就是毫无意义的浪费时间浪费生命的时候不要相信它当然除了他说的是手游以外
Because again you're developing this ability for systems thinking and that is very important
因为这里面的那种系统性的思考是非常非常重要的
And a thing very specific to China is that this is a time of very rapid expansion and so your choices will have a lot of influence
那么对于中国来说格外正确的一点是现在是一个快速扩张的时期游戏的人口和人们对游戏的投入在快速的扩张所以你的选择作为一个先来的人对于后来的人会有很大的影响
There are a lot of people getting into gaming right now and when they try to find out about what they should be interested in they're going to learn from you the people who already know what to be interested in
不了解游戏的人在慢慢的进入这个场景之中而他们将会听到 来自于你和你这样的先来玩家的建议 而你们的对他们的分享你们的看法会非常重要
And what this means is that your personal tastes and your personal opinions will spread very easily and that gives you a great deal of power and influence
因为你是来的所以你的意见你的对游戏的品味对于后来的人对于以后的游戏大众有很大的影响
But just when you have influence like that, it's a good idea to be careful and make sure that what you're spreading is really the best thing.
正因为我们有这样的力量，所以我们更要谨慎，更要去慎重的选择我们去游玩传播的游戏，因为我们想要让最好的游戏变得流行。
And that's all I have to say for the main presentation. Thank you for your time.
这就是我想说的，谢谢大家。乔纳森·布洛。Thank you so much, man. I just want to say, just keep doing what you do, and we love your game. We look forward to everything you do in the future, and we share your vision, man. Thank you.
Okay. 大家掌声再热烈一点，好不好？感谢一下崔哥，非常非常精彩的演讲啊。然后咱们所有集合的听众啊网友都可以再期待一下崔哥在这几天其实和我们集合又合作了一些其他内容奉献给大家在咱们核聚变之后可以带给他好吧你可以期待一下具体的我就不说了 OK 然后咱们稍稍休息几分钟啊马上开始最后一个环节核磁共振好大家可以稍微休息一下上厕所的
对然后大家在